Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned before, today we observe the presentation of the Augsburg Confession in the year 1530. 13 years after the posting of the 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Castle came the presentation of the Augsburg Confession to the Emperor Charles V. Philip Melanchthon had done most of the writing, with Luther and others acting as advisors and proofreaders. The emperor was trying to force all denominations in his empire to declare unity with the Roman Church. The lives of some of these theologians and leaders were on the line, literally, before Charles V, who was not a namby-pamby emperor. He was a warrior. The Augsburg Confession did not give Charles V the unity he desired. Charles V then replied to the Augsburg Confession with what is known as the Confutation, attempting to point out the errors of the Lutherans. But then came the apology, the defense of the Augsburg Confession, and it held fast to scriptural positions on all the points of disagreement between the Lutherans, Charles V, and the Roman Church, whom Charles V essentially represented. The Augsburg Confession listed several points of contention, but the big difference came in the area of how a person becomes justified before God. That is Article 4. The Roman Church maintained then and still maintains. You can read it in their catechism if you get one and want to read that. They still maintain that works and faith are required for justification, while the Scriptures and the Lutheran confessions maintain, as Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10 maintain, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." How much clearer can something be? Not a result of works. Not a result of works. Justification comes by grace through faith, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, man has been a braggart since the fall into sin in the garden. We like to brag about our accomplishments as if they were somehow good, but in the total scheme of things, our accomplishments do not register anywhere on the good scale. All of our accomplishments are as filthy rags. On my own, can I claim any accomplishment as good when compared to God's creation, redemption, and sanctification? And the answer is no. And we are told that there are no good deeds without faith. In other words, though the world may claim good deeds, as some do, with hospitals and charities and learning programs and so forth, none of these deeds are classified as good before God unless they are done in faith. And this faith in God and His promises is a gift given through God's grace. So can I claim any credit? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And even my good works done in faith were prepared beforehand by Him. They all are His. Soli Deo Gloria. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. And this faith in God and His promises is a gift given through God's grace. And what is grace? Grace is God's undeserved pardon or favor. Through the years, I have entertained many notions of grace. For instance, God is gracious to us in that He provides all things for us. Food, shelter, clothing, everything that we need to support our bodies and life. God is gracious and gives to us. But in our relationship with holy and all-powerful God, the notion that grace is undeserved pardon, undeserved favor, fits best. God is gracious in that He cares for us and all these other things, but He does this for all people, whether they are believers or not. But for those whom God brings to faith by grace, undeserved pardon fits the definition of grace better than any others. And I can think of no other setting in which undeserved pardon, as an example, can be seen better than in the prison setting. The prison setting. Now, a man or woman in prison sits in his cell for most of his prison life. He counts the minutes and hours and days and weeks and months as they go by. He waits for his parole hearings, being disappointed over and over again. He tries to convince the parole board members that he is a rehabilitated, reformed man, but to no avail. They won't believe him. But the prisoner knows that he has hope of being released from prison by an undeserved pardon. And there are two people who can give him a pardon, as far as I know, the governor of his state and the president of his country. The warden could come, unlock his cell door at any moment, and tell him that he has been given an undeserved pardon. A governor's pardon or a presidential pardon carries no restrictions. The man who receives a pardon is free to go and live his life. He is free. That is what an undeserved pardon does for a prisoner. That is what an undeserved pardon does for a sinner. Now, you and I live our lives imprisoned by sin, death, and the devil. As we age, we literally count the minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years in our mortality. But dear ones, our undeserved pardon, the grace of God, has been issued and extended to us as God reached out to us on the arms of the cross. In our relationship with God as sinners, it is only God's grace, God's undeserved pardon, which initiates the relationship, as His pardon creates the faith in us to believe that God's Son has died for our sins. With this grace, with God's undeserved pardon, we are free. We are free from the effects of sin, death, and the devil. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? We live in a newly rehabilitated and reformed life as saints. We are regenerated spiritually in the waters of baptism and live as new people, repentant people, people who live by grace, not by works. We are God's new creatures. Whereas Adam and Eve were God's old creatures who fell into sin, we are God's new creatures, on whom sin has no eternal effect. We will live as new creatures into eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the angels and archangels, and all the saints who live as new creatures before God. So then, we ask ourselves about the Augsburg Confession. We wonder why we keep talking about these old things, these old concepts, these old people, and these old documents. And we ask ourselves, is this so important? And we reply by asserting, yes, yes, yes. It is important. It is critical. It is vital for salvation. For on our own, dear ones, we would attempt 100 times out of 100 times to work our way into heaven. And 100 times out of 100 times we would fall short. The old prisoner would never gain release from sin, death, and the devil by his own works. Never. Never. But by grace. By the undeserved pardon of God in Christ through faith, we are released from the effects of sin, death, and the devil. The time that Martin Luther lived, the church had become a works righteous church. But Martin Luther and his followers returned to dependence on God's word and his promises given through the life and death and resurrection of his son Jesus. The church will always stand or fall on the article of justification, Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession. The presentation of the Augsburg Confession revealed a return to the Word of God, like the time of Nehemiah, when the book of the law of Moses was recovered. The Word of God, you see, does not change. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. No works save us, can't save us. Those who believe in Christ rely on the cross for their salvation and the empty tomb for their hope of eternal life. The undeserved pardon of God in Christ. Listen to this. The undeserved pardon of God in Christ can be very difficult for the pride to handle. The undeserved pardon of God in Christ can be very difficult for the pride to handle. But grace, undeserved pardon, is the only way to go. And grace is the only way to God. Thanks be to God for the Augsburg Confession. Because on our own, we'd like to depend on our own good works to get us there. But thanks be to God for his undeserved pardon given to us through his Son. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.